Culture Club kidnapped the music scene in the 1980s with songs like Karma Chameleon and Do You Want to Hurt Me? Made up of Roy Hay on guitar and keyboards, bassist Mikey Craig, John Moss on drums, and Boy George as the lead singer, the band rode a wave of success first in the UK, then here in the States. But before the decade was done, Culture Club broke up. There were sporadic reunions in the late 90s and early 2000s, but Boy George was making headlines with his drug problems and run-ins with the law, and he had found a place in the dance culture working as a DJ. Last year, Culture Club reunited once again, now with a sober Boy George out front, and this time it seems to be sticking. They're back on the road this summer with a stop in Kansas City at the Kauffman Center this Wednesday, July 27th. It's my pleasure to welcome Boy George to Up to Date. May I call you George?
George is fine.
Have you ever been in the at the Kauffman Center before in Kansas City?
I'm not sure. I've been to Kansas, definitely. I've definitely clicked my heels in Kansas a few times, but I don't know if I've been to that particular venue.
You will love it. It was built specifically for sound, so I'd be very surprised if you're not thrilled with it when you're here.
Oh, good, good. That's a rare and beautiful thing for a traveling band.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. You can play some. I mean, just there are great music halls, and then there's just, you know, venues.
Exactly.
Was there a song the band recorded in the 80s that you were surprised didn't do better or get the recognition you thought it should have?
Not really. I think there's been a few since then. No, I thought that, you know, Culture Club, we had a great run. You know, when we do our shows, you know, we have, you know, what we call the high class problem of having a lot of songs to do that people recognize. So, no, I don't feel like there's anything that, you know, not with Culture Club, certainly not, no.
Okay. I want to quote you from a 2014 Rolling Stone interview in which you said, "I was always good at music. The one thing in my life I was spectacularly bad at was at being a drug addict. Yet that was something you persisted at for, what, 20 years or more? What finally made
you..." No.
Well,
where are you getting your information from?
Well, because, well, I'm going by a report that you were finally sober in 2008, and going by some of the troubles that made the press back in the late 80s. So math-wise, how long would you say that you had had the problem with drugs then?
I would say that it's been an on-off thing, really. I don't think, it certainly wasn't 20 years.
Okay.
And that's an exaggeration. I wouldn't be here if it had been 20 years. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm an addict. I think that's really the only thing that I need to tell you is I'm an addict. And currently I'm a recovering addict. I'm 8 years sober. You know, I'm in a very different place. And I don't really think about what I used to do. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think in a funny sort of way, if you want people to move on, then you have to move on. You know, and, you know, I just don't think about it. I think of myself as being, you know, a sober, recovered person. And I'm just so grateful that I'm clean. I mean, you know, I've just never been happier, really. So that's where I am right now.
And can I ask what finally made you decide that sobriety was the better option?
I think for me, all my best work has been done with clarity. You know, when I look at my body of work, songs that I've written, for me, all the best songs were written when I was clear-headed, when I was happy, when I was, sober. So I think that was a good enough reason. And also because, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't end well, you know?
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, it's, as people say, the other option was dot, dot, dot.
Not being here, yeah. So yeah, I decided to be here, and I'm very happy I'm here.
You said last year that a main contribution to the band being able to make this reunion work is that three of you are in recovery. And I'm taking it your fourth member, though you jokingly say should be in recovery. But had it been a long time since all of you were sober at the same time?
That's not a question I can answer on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But when Mikey drinks wine, but he's not an addict, you mm-hmm. know, so don't worry about him.
Okay, that's good.
He's got an Italian wife.
So, since the getting back together, Culture Club has written and recorded new tunes. There's an album, Tribes, was expected last year, am I right? But fans are still waiting. Is there any update on that album?
There's no update on that album. We do a few of the songs in the show. They're great, but you know, we'll release it when the time is right. It just isn't right now.
How would you characterize the band's music now? What effect has the collective life experience had on the music that you're all composing today?
I think our music's always been pretty eclectic. You know, I don't think, you know, like we got lumped in with a lot of 80s bands, but our sound really was never that 80s. Yes, there were elements of overproduction on some of the records, but the songs, when we do them now, they don't sound like they're from a different decade. You know, they've kind of stood up to the test of time. And I think what we do is pretty much, you know, sort of like a grown-up version of what we did 30 years ago. We're certainly not trying to be what we were. You know, we're not really interested in kind of retreading old ground. But our music's always been eclectic. It's always been kind of world music, really. You know, everything's in there from, you know, John's kind of punk sensibilities to the stuff that I grew up with, glam rock, you know, sort of Philly soul, Gladys Knight and the Pips, you know, all of that kind of stuff. We're a pretty eclectic kind of bunch, and I think that really shines through in what we do musically, you know.
Well, and I like that you referenced, and I saw that in several articles when I was, reading up for the interview. You use that term a bit, several times, the phrase grown up, you know, that you've
yeah.
grown up, the music's grown up. So not to say that anybody should have to go what you've gone through, but did the life path in the end, has it been worth it now that you think of yourself as grown up?
I think it's a really difficult question to answer. You know, does one have to chop off one's ear to become enlightened? Probably not. But you have to kind of accept the route that you've taken, you know, and I suppose all one's life experiences are the thing that make you the person you are now. And I guess, you know, as I said before, I'm pretty happy with who I am now. So I suppose I have to just kind of accept that was the journey I took.
And it's coming through in your music too.
I think there's a kind of positivity, I think, in what we do now that it's different. You know, when I sing, you know, when I look back at the songs I wrote in my early years, you know, things like Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, Victims, Church of the Poison Mind, Time Won't Give Me Time. I mean, they're all great songs and I love performing them, but I'm not that person anymore. I don't really feel like, you know, there's a lot of oh, woe is me in those songs, and that's not who I am now. So, you know, I kind of sing those songs with a little wry smile in my heart.
Well, and it sounds even throughout it all, I mean, you always had what I always perceived to be a very upbeat, positive personality. And correct me if I'm wrong, that I'm suspecting that even at your lowest ebb, perhaps you just always, I don't want to say survivor mode or your survivor, but were you always optimistic even, you know, when things weren't going really well?
Oh, I don't know, because when you're in it, you're in it. It's a bit difficult to say, but I'm certainly optimistic now.
This is Up to Date. I'm Danny Alexander, and our guest is singer and songwriter Boy George. Another challenge you've had is a problem with your vocal cords. What happened there?
I had like an abscess on my vocal cord like 2 years ago, and I had to cancel a tour, but I'm good now.
So what's the regimen now for maintaining it? Do you have any do's or don'ts?
Silence, yeah, when you've done a show, no speaking. Just, you know, go into kind of opera singer mode. No talking.
And you say your bandmates,
you know,
like that.
Sleep. Obviously, sleep is very important for singers.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise, you know, just generally, you know, living a healthy lifestyle will help massively with all those things.
You know, your voice has deepened, and to me it actually sounds fuller or richer than it did in your younger years. What do you think of the changes in your voice?
Well, I'm me, so it's really difficult for me to kind of analyze what I sound like, you know. I mean, I think you can only ever be who you are now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like who I am. I like the way I sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my voice is, yeah, it's a traveled voice, you know. I mean, I'm 55. And I think men, particularly men singers, you know, you change as you get older. But I'm pretty happy with the things that I can do now. There are things that I can do now that I couldn't do when I was younger. And I think there's a kind of confidence and experience in my performance that I never had, you know, even at the kind of highest highs of Culture Club.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm pretty pleased with where I am now vocally and who I am as a performer.
Well, in 2013, you put out your first new album in 18 years. This Is What I Do was the title of it. And I will unabashedly say I loved the voice and the songs. And there are lyrics I want to ask you about. But first, why that long a gap and what finally got you to record that album?
Well, I was in the dance world. I've been DJing mm-hmm. for, you know, about 25 years. And I just kind of got immersed in dance culture. Had an amazing second career as the DJ, you know, playing house music. I did make records, you know, dance records, but I didn't do a kind of studio album till 2013. Just felt like the right time. You know, I just felt the need to go in the studio and to start recording. And, you know, I just got that bug again, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I want to get to some of the lyrics here. In the song My God, you sing, I had to get it wrong to get it right. And I think a lot of people think there's an obvious answer there, but what did you get wrong? Because a lot of people might say you were getting it very right for a while there.
Well, I think you've mentioned all the things I got wrong in this interview. I mean, the actual lyric is,
here in the darkness, I became the light. I had to get it wrong to get it right.
And, you know, that particular song relates to an experience that I had in New York City where I was in a bar and I was drunk and high and a man walked up to me and gave me a mini Bible. And, you know, the song starts with, you know, man gives me the book of God and I turn to him and say, I wouldn't be here, my friend, if I had no faith. The song is about the way that people assume, you know, that you have, you know, they just kind of assume things about you without knowing anything about you. And, you know, it's about people trying to kind of inflict their kind of spiritual ideas on you without actually first asking you where you stand, you know. And, you know, the fact that I'm a Buddhist, I don't necessarily go around shouting about it, but, you know, it's, you know, I love Buddhism because I think it's a really, you know, it's a practical faith where you're encouraged to take responsibility for the things that you do. And I think it's what defines it from a lot of other faiths, and I really love it.
And it also does kind of promotes that be in the moment, you know, live in the moment you're in. Correct me again if I'm wrong, but I think that's shining through a lot too in the conversation here. King of Everything, another song off that album, has this question. Have I lost my crown? Will I be king again? How much of that is an autobiographical reflection? Is that something that you were, or that you are really concerned about?
Not really. I've got lots of crowns.
I noticed the hat.
I think that you have to be, you know, with songwriting, you know, what happens with a song is that, you know, you may start writing a song about a particular subject or a particular person or experience, but then it takes lots of twists and turns and becomes about lots of things. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think King of Everything is really about recovery. You know, I'm singing about a guy, you know, I'm singing about a guy with a kid and a wife. That's mm-hmm. definitely not me. You know, the kid was crying and the dogs were howling. So I'm actually singing about recovery as a kind of subject.
What's the word on the street? Have I lost my crown? Or will I be king again? What's the word on the street? Have I lost my crown? Or will I be king of everything?
And, you know, I do fall into that category, obviously, but the song is more about a kind of punch drunk kind of straight guy who's kind of messed things up, and he's singing to his wife, you know, I let you down, you know, will I ever be your king again. So it's not literal, but yeah, I'm in there. I'm absolutely in there. You know, I always say when I perform that song on stage, you know, it's a song about me, but it's also about you. You know, it's things are never completely literal with my writing.
Mm-hmm. And I do like the questions that it asks, though, that your songs ask. Okay, last one. Nice and Slow states, I got my sparkle back again. You know, and from that sequin hat in the video, I'd have to agree. I was almost had to put sunglasses on for that hat. But really, when did you know you had gotten the sparkle back?
I have to say, there's a really funny story about that song, because in England, we have this actress called Patsy Kensit. I don't know if you've ever heard of her.
No.
She was in an advert on TV for weight loss. And in it, she said,
I got my sparkle back again. I've been talking less, thinking more. Feel like I should hold you inside. No more watching.
And it just made me laugh so much. And then I was thinking, well, I kind of got my sparkle back again as well. You know, so it was really through seeing this actress on an advert. I think it was for Weight Watchers. And, you know, she kind of walks in the room and she's all slim and she says, oh, I've got my sparkle back again. And I just wrote it down because it just resonated with me. And then when I wrote that song, I think the song was, you know, Nice and Slow. It was really just an ode to being kind of laid back, you know, being a bit Jamaican, you know, just, you know what I mean? Just kind of taking things easy, that whole kind of lovers rock, summertime kind of vibe, you know. But it was Patsy Kensit. You don't even know who she is, right? But look her up. Google her.
Oh, I will. It just amazes me where inspiration will come from sometimes.
Well, I think these days, you know, with the iPhone and these kind of great gadgets that you've got, you know, you don't miss anything. You don't have to miss anything anymore. If you see something and it inspires you, you know, I always write everything down or I record things. Very often, you know, you'll look back at these things and think, oh, this doesn't mean anything. It doesn't work. But you know, it's a great way to get ideas, to spark song titles or just, you know, to, you know, it's a really great way to write things. You know, I'm working with a young band in the UK at the moment called Brando, and we were like miking up the drum kit to record, and somebody in the room said, it sounds like someone playing drums in a badly mic'd room. And that ended up being the opening line to one of the songs. What's in your head? Someone playing drums in a badly mic'd room. So inspiration can literally come mm-hmm. from anywhere.
And it's good that you recognize that. I think some people, so often those moments go by and they don't catch them at all. So so for those who still picture you as Boy George of the 80s, your look these days actually allows you to, as you say, slip by unnoticed. I was a bit surprised by your statement. I'm quoting here, I always wanted the kind of fame that came with an off button, and I would never have guessed that going by your flamboyance back in the 80s. So what's life like when you hit that off button these days?
Well, it depends where you are. Obviously, when you're on the road, it's quite difficult to escape, you know, attention. We had a situation yesterday in Pittsburgh. There was a rather zealous autograph hunter who decided to follow us in a car. And that could be quite intimidating and quite scary. But generally, you know, when I'm traveling around, if I take off my makeup and put on a baseball cap, you know, mm-hmm. I can pretty much go unnoticed. But then I'm going to be on The Apprentice in January, so I think those days are limited. I've been on The Apprentice.
You're going to be on The Apprentice?
Yeah, I'm on Celebrity Apprentice
so
in
are
January.
Are you hoping that Donald Trump will still be able to host that show?
He's not hosting it. Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, right. No, he's much better. He's Arnold is hilarious and
I think people don't realize
charming.
How
he's
good
charming.
Right, and people don't realize how good a sense of humor he has.
Has a great sense of humor, and he what I can tell you about him is he give it to you, but he gives it to you with a wry smile.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, whereas like I remember seeing Cyndi Lauper on The Apprentice with Donald Trump, and he was like, "Shut up!" and he was talking to her like she was a child. Arnold's very different. It's much more charming, but it's also strong. You know,
mm-hmm.
he'll give you it if he needs to, but it's just done with a, you know, with a nice wry smile. He's very charming.
Well, I have to say, I'm not a reality show fan, but, you know, now that I know that you're going to be on it, I may be very tempted to see. How do you think you'll do?
Can I let you into a little secret?
Okay.
Reality TV has nothing to do with
reality. I get that. Boy George.
Will... That. It's hilarious.
Oh, gosh. Boy George will be in town when Culture Club hits the stage at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts Wednesday, July 27th. For more information, go to kauffmancenter.org. George, thank you for taking the time. Safe travels, and I hope you enjoy it when you get here to Kansas City.
Can't wait.
Oh, very good. Take care and keep making the music.
That's enough.
Appreciate
Bye.
It.